This is Jay Sekulow. Two decisions out of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals undercut religious freedom. They're now headed to the Supreme Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I've got a general question I want to ask you, because we're going to be talking about how important is religious liberty to you? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. And I say that because we've got two cases at the Supreme Court of the United States we have just filed and are involved in. One where we filed what's called a cert petition. We're asking the court to hear a case where a student was asked a question about what he bases his morals upon. This was, what do you base your morals on? That was in the interview for a program to be a radiation technologist. He said, my faith. That's all he said, was my faith. That student was denied admission to this college program because he said my faith, and the professor that was evaluating his admission application said the client brought up religion a great deal during the interview, but religion cannot be brought up in the clinic by therapists or students. By the way, the only time he raised his faith was when he was asked that one question, and we have that in discovery. That case is now pending at the United States Supreme Court. Then there is a decision out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit also, where prayer before a government function, legislative assembly or local government function, was deemed to be unconstitutional, despite the facts that other courts have held it to be constitutional. Both of those cases right now poised at the Supreme Court. The case involving the student, by the way, was just filed at the Supreme Court yesterday. I'm literally holding my hand right now. The cert petition that we filed at the Supreme Court.
Going to the student case, you get this question in your college interview. What do you base your morals on? And you answer your faith. And you're denied admission because you said your faith. What else do you base your morals on? I mean, let's all just like think about that for a moment.
How else would you answer that question?
The moral word is tied to faith directly. I mean, morality and faith kind of go hand in hand. So, I mean, what were they looking for? Some creative response to what you base your morals on, or what's good and bad and what's the gray areas? And I think the most simple and clear answer is that my morals are based off my faith code that instructs me how to live my life and my worldview, which is directed by my faith. And that is, again, a reason why to deny admission to someone from a program that would be in a medical situation, having to help people who were hurting, people who were in conditions that may not be able to survive, and saying that your faith is what directs your moral code is the reason why you are denied admission. Folks, this is not the United States of America anymore if this stands. And so far, unfortunately,
it has.
These courts have said, oh, that's okay. How could you answer that question, Judge? I'd love to ask them that. I'd love to ask these judges, what would you say? How do you define your morals? What would you say? Oh, I have none? Oh, everything is gray. There really is no morality. That's what the left really believes, is that there is no good answer for that. Everything is relative.
That's how they view everything.
That's probably what they wanted to answer.
Yeah, I mean, they were, yeah. So, or he'd say based on my life experiences. But here's the fact. This is now a case at the Supreme Court of the United States. The question presented is direct. Did the Fourth Circuit commit an error by holding that the free speech clause has no application to private speech expressed during an interview of an applicant seeking admission to a competitive academic program of college? Because the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals actually said that the First Amendment free speech clause does not apply to that process.
It's a public school.
No application. Public university, public college. The free speech clause of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution has no application. That's what's going on in America's colleges today. All right, we're going to talk about this. We want to know the importance of the issue of faith in our daily life, in our academics. How important is religious freedom to you? 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Phone lines have just opened up. We only have one line available, though. 1-800-684-3110. Call in now to get that. You can also get your comments in on social media. That's at facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulow. And you can tweet us all at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow right now. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
And by the way, we do have a brand new resource up at ACLJ.org. We're talking about these religious freedom cases. And that is, if you need legal help in your community, for instance, the case that we've got involving Dustin Buxton, he's the student we're representing against the Baltimore Community College system. He came in through our ACLJ.org website, right at the website. If you need help, go to resources, and there's a form that's called Get Our Help. And you could fill it out and let us know the issues that you're facing in your community or that your son or daughter or that you may be facing. And if we could offer help, we want to do that. And we're going to move that to the homepage to make it a little bit easier for you in the day, probably by tomorrow. But again, that's how this case came in. Let me recast the case for you so you know. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So we filed a petition for certiorari, that is a request for review with the Supreme Court on this particular case involving the student yesterday, Dustin Buxton. I'm holding in my hand for our television audience the certiorari petition that we filed. We allege in there that the student was discriminated against because of his answer to this question: what do you base your morals on? His simple response was this: my faith. The administrator that was reviewing his application in the interview said he raised religion too much. Religion cannot be brought up in the clinic by therapists or students. He said it one time. He just said my faith. Now, if most of you were asked what your morals were, I think a lot of you would say your faith. Yeah, but that was a disqualifier for the Baltimore Community College system. And the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said that's okay.
And he never said, and I'm going to start sharing this with everyone here, this is a question about himself personally, his moral code, not what he was going to do with patients. I think that this, again, retroactive. So if you answer the question honestly, without then having an opportunity to serve in the position, and this is the only reason you're disqualified. I mean, it's one thing if he came in, answered this way, and then started preaching to everybody in the place. I get that. But he never got that chance to even show that he was just a normal person and his faith guided his morals. I mean, that is so basic for the United States of America.
What would the answer be? You want to pull the quotes? Pull some quotes from the founding fathers, having relied on divine providence. I guess they would be, you know, we're going to, you know, deny Jefferson.
And I don't think anybody thought that they were like going around always preaching in each other's face about that.
Yeah, give me some founding father quotes.
It was about themselves personally. What drove them personally to have a moral character, a moral background? And for most people in the country, a faith or some idea of faith and a belief system is what does that. I mean, that's the whole point of having a moral code is you have to have something to base it on.
But here's the ridiculous nature of the opinion. I'm reading this from page 6 of the certiorari petition. The free speech clause has no application to private speech expressed in the context of a public college's competitive admissions process. Now, how could that possibly be correct? How could the First Amendment's free speech clause not apply to a question you're being asked? Because your response would be a free speech response. But because it's religious speech, they treat it differently. And the fact of the matter is, faith, a religious speech, is not entitled to some kind of second-class treatment. Religious speech and advocacy, Justice O'Connor said, is entitled to the full protection of the First Amendment. We've been arguing that. I've been arguing that for 37 years, including 3 decades at the Supreme Court. So the Fourth Circuit just got it wrong here, so we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will correct it. All right, we've got a lot of calls coming in, Logan. A lot of comments coming in on Facebook as well. And Periscope, let's go ahead and take a call or comment.
Let's go to Dana in Orlando, Florida. Line one, you're on the air.
Hi, Dana, go ahead.
Hi, this is Dana. Hi. Well, I believe that my faith is also my foundation of my moral code. As an attorney and a student of the law, what did they expect him to lie? And therefore, you qualify for the job if he lied.
This was admission to a college program, but keep going. But yes, I think they would rather have him not say what the truthful answer was. I hate to say it, but
correct.
I think that's what it is.
And the problem is, so what you're saying is that they are entitled to discriminate on only that speech, which is religious, but not on any other speech. And well, unfortunately for them, our nation was founded because of religious beliefs that led to political free ideology.
Well, yeah, I mean, Justice O'Connor famously said it would be ironic that a nation founded by religious refugees would sever the ties that bind it to that status today. And that she was talking about under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. Jefferson, this is interesting also, a letter that Jefferson wrote to Dr. Benjamin Rush. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man, which this university admissions was engaged in. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but I will say this. The idea that religious speech can be treated this way is absurd in a free country. And the Fourth Circuit condoning that makes it, in my view, even worse. So that's how I view the situation. I mean, legislation is often based on morality. And all of a sudden, we can say now that members of the legislative, I don't know if we have Than down there yet, but yeah, we do. So Than, you've got a whole prayer caucus in the United States Congress, Religious Freedom
Caucus.
You've
got a whole prayer caucus. You've got the United States House and the United States Senate, Jay, that open every single day in prayer. I know you're going to talk about that case as well, but look,
yep.
I would go back to the conversation you just had with Jordan. This is the most troubling because it's now in the judiciary. I mean, we've talked on this broadcast a lot about the attacks on the political left, including Judge Amy Barrett, my friend Russ Vogt, who was attacked for his faith for serving in government. But, Jay, the fact that the judiciary is now starting to follow the lead of the political left, that's another layer that's even worse.
Here's the interesting thing, Judge Amy Barrett, your support of our call to point out that religious hostility to her, she got confirmed to be a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. So, again, we're not just talking about it here. We're getting the job done on this. All right, let me go ahead. Let's take another phone call or a comment.
Yeah, Janet said on Facebook, what other morality did they expect him to have?
Well, this is the question, Jordan, that you've asked. I mean, why would that – let me give the exact question. I think it's important to have – I like the evidence here. So here is the exact question. The question is, what do you base your morals on? To which he responded, this is our client, my faith. That's it. That's what he said. All right.
I mean, that is like so generic.
If you're going to ask faith? That question, then that has to
did
be like top three
even?
Answers.
What faith? Did they say, is it some specific faith or some unique faith? But no, they jumped to the conclusion that if you have this faith, then that's too much because this is a no faith zone. You realize that. That's what they're saying. It's a no-faith zone. That after the interview, he was denied admission, and he inquired why, and then the person who gave did the interview stated that Mr. Buxton brought up religion a great deal. One time in the deposition we found.
And I mean, my faith was his answer.
Not really bringing up religion, and that religion cannot be brought up in the clinic by therapists or students. This is angry atheist. I guarantee you this person hates religious people, okay?
Well,
I mean, has some animus towards religious people and thinks that this should be a faith-free zone. And he never said it wouldn't be. He was asked how his morals came together, not how he would be conducting himself with morals.
Well, let me tell you what he also said, though. This is what the person that was in charge of the admission, this was her other response when the client requested to find out why he got denied admission. Quote, I understand that religion is a major part of your life. However, this field is not the place for religion. If you interview in the future, you may want to leave your thoughts and beliefs out of the interview process.
I mean, this should be a slam dunk.
She should have been terminated or reprimanded, and the policy should have been changed. Instead, we have to be on the defensive, which we're not, because we brought a lawsuit, and we're taking it up to the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday.
If this was a woman who wore a headscarf and was a Muslim, they would say, you must take it off to have this job. Or someone Jewish who wore a yarmulke. Hey, this is not a place for faith, so take your yarmulke off, or else you can't work here. I mean, think about where this goes. And all he said was, what do you base your morals on? My faith. I don't even know if he got into what faith that was. Right. I mean, that's the absurdity here. And it's why the fact that even after all these big cases that we're working on, this is still happening in the United States of America to American people applying for jobs, asking what appear to be now setup questions.
Right. That's the only answer that makes sense.
It's the only answer.
And if you answer it incorrectly.
Right.
Then you get denied admission to a university program. That's what happens if you do that incorrectly. All right. Let's go ahead and take another call. No, not within 152. What do you think, Logan? You think we can?
It's pretty good, but it's okay. William said, will any judge Supreme Court actually uphold this absurd bigotry?
So here's what happened. So we filed, this is what I'm holding in my hand. This is the petition for writ of certiorari. We need four justices to say they want to hear the case. If they say they want to hear the case, if they, in other words, grant the petition, it's just a one-sentence order, the petition for certiorari is hereby granted. We then get to brief the case and generally have oral argument. So like those pro-life cases that we've got pending right now, we're waiting for that order. We're now waiting for this. So right now we have three cases pending at the two cases pending at the U.S. Supreme Court on the merits that we're dealing with right now. And again, we're waiting for certiorari orders. In the normal situation, those pro-life center cases should have been granted. There were conflicts in the circuit. In this one, it's such an outrageous decision, it should be granted review. We've worked really hard to get it there. We've written excellent cert petitions. But getting it there, you got to get those four justices to say they want to hear the case, and then you start the briefing process all over again. All right, we're taking more calls and comments when we come back from the break. Logan's got ways for you to communicate. Phone lines are jammed, but we will be able to get people on via Periscope and
yeah, you can get us online however you want. Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, you can just contact us, get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the show and during the break as well.
Corey Stay in Virginia. Ed Gillespie, one of the candidates in that race for governor, will be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast.
We reached out to both candidates a couple times, and the Democratic candidate hasn't. But if he calls in, we put him on too. If he calls in, we've offered. All right, also, if you've got legal issues that come up in your community, just go to aclj.org, look under resources. You'll see Get Our Help. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Phone lines are jammed because we're back at the Supreme Court yesterday. We filed our application for certiorari, that is request for review, in a case called Buxton versus Daughtry, and that is really a case against the Community College of Baltimore County, where our client was denied access to the program when he was asked the question. And this is, I mean, it's this simple, and Carly Gamble, senior counsel for the ACLJ, is here with us on the set in our media center. What do you base your morals on? To which he replied, my faith. That was a question that was asked. So I asked this to Carly. Well, what was he supposed to say?
Your guess is as good as mine on this one. There was no answer to that, by the way. I mean, there's never been an answer given to what he should have said, other than perhaps something related to radiation therapy.
I don't know, my morals on radiation therapy. I mean, okay. Then they double down on it. This is what always gets me. And when we inquired as to why he was denied access, it said that Mr. Buxton brought up religion a great deal during the interview, but religion cannot be brought up in the clinic for therapists. And then he said, she said, I understand that religion is a major part of your life. However, this field is not the place for religion. If you interview in the future, you may want to leave your thoughts and beliefs out of the interview process. Wait a minute. You asked me what my morals were based on.
Right, yeah. Actually, second quote was actually as to another applicant. So this was not the only applicant. So the second, that other quote was, was more than one time that this has happened by the same individual interviewing applicants for this program, telling them, leave your religion out.
So this is part of their practice.
More than once makes it a practice, I believe. I mean.
Well, here's what I don't understand. What you asked the question, what was this? I'm laughing because it's, what was the student supposed to say? I mean, and then you say, well, you shouldn't have brought up religion. Well, you just asked me what my moral code was.
Absolutely.
But don't bring up, so I answered you honestly by saying, my faith, two words, and that is, that's way too religious. So anyways, there you have it. We got a lot of calls.
We do.
And I think we need to get to a few of those.
All right, let's go to Jerry first in Rhode Island on line 5. You're on the air, Jerry.
Hello.
Hey, Jerry, you're on the air.
Carly just kind of brought it out to light. That second statement was from a different applicant. But under the bad facts, bad law situation, it seems to me this administrator is not neutral to detached when she's asking these questions. So is the court going to be ripe enough to take it on these facts? Are they going to?
Oh, sure. I mean, you have a decision from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. Let me tell you what the Fourth Circuit said. The Fourth Circuit said that the First Amendment has no application to you being asked a question in your admission on an interview for an academic program. That the First Amendment, what was the exact phrase they said? Has no application?
Has no application in the context of a competitive interview.
So the First Amendment's freedom of speech clause has no application to a competitive interview process when you're asked a question that you're responding to. And as Jordan said earlier, yes, it's ripe. The Fourth Circuit made this decision. It's now going to the Supreme Court of the United States. We got to get four justices to hear it. And we're not pointing out that this is just absurd, which it is, but the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals codified that absurdity in their opinion.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's why you've got to fight this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, which it seems like we should be past the days where the Supreme Court of the United States is considering whether someone answering what is your basis of your morals and you answer with a generic as can be, my faith, and that is a disqualifier at a public university program. That is when the Supreme Court should usually step in very clearly, almost unanimously, you would think, and say that cannot be a disqualifier. They could say, hey, lots of other disqualifiers for this position, but not, you can't take that answer as saying my faith is how I develop a moral code as the disqualifier. And that is what I think has to be made clear to the court is that, yes, they don't have to accept everyone who says my faith is my moral code, but you can't reject everyone who says my faith is how I developed a moral code.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit held, I'm quoting, that the free speech clause has no application, and that's their words, in the context of speech expressed in a competitive interview. The court also said that our client failed to satisfy the first element of the First Amendment, i.e. that he engaged in protected First Amendment activity. So if it's not free speech, when you're asked a question, you're responding, what is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can't be. It's not government speech, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly. He's private, asked the question. So right, it's private. He's responding speech to a government question.
Right. Invited by the government.
And yes.
Yeah. So when you answer and you give an answer in response to a question posed to you by a government actor, how is that not protected?
Well, I'm asking that question because the Fourth Circuit said it's not. So that's why we're at the Supreme Court of the United States. Let's take another call or comment, Logan.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Don, who's calling in New Hampshire on line three.
Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. How are you today?
Good.
If we base our moral compass on position, profit, materialistic possessions, you look what happens out there. So many people have fallen astray, and there's been so much corruption. So if you look at it, who pays for the HR department?
Well, here's my question, though. Why, and Logan said this, why is not the answer to the question, what are your morals based on, my faith, why is that not in the top three answers for most people?
I believe it would be. I don't think there's any really question that I think if you're kind of going off of people's just general, or what, your own core belief system. I mean, like, that's the options that you have there all are really based on your own conscience. So
the only other one I can think of is like, you know, what the values my parents instilled in me. I mean, something like that.
Which
I
are
mean,
based on what? That'd be the next question.
Right. Based on what? Well, probably their faith or the values their parents instilled on them, which were based on what? Well, probably their faith. I mean, you go back long enough in America, there were really hardly any atheists. So, and even today, there's very few atheists in regards to how many people there are in our country. So when you use the word morality, it's a direct tie to faith. Yeah. I mean,
well, and you said this earlier, Jordan, and I think you're exactly right, that part of the problem here is the assumption that was made on that basis. Yeah. Okay, my morals are based on my faith. And so we automatically then assume that that means you're going to come into the clinic with preaching. Patients and start preaching and proselytizing.
Which is absurd.
But all he said was my faith.
Yeah.
I mean, they have more words written about denying his application because of his faith than the answer to his question. The answer to the question was my faith, two words. Their reason for denying him is four sentences. So, I mean, it kind of tells you the absurd nature. But again, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals came up with the incredible conclusion that the First Amendment has no application to this situation. No application. And let me tell you, when the First Amendment doesn't have an application to your answer to a question, we are living in a world where has turned the First Amendment free speech clause upside down. All right, we'll take more calls and comments about this at 1-800-684-3110. You got a comment, Logan?
We'll take one of these during the break. I think okay. There's a lot of comments that I think. So if you're not watching online, you should be. We broadcast online during the breaks. We have the exclusive videos where we keep the show going. This is at facebook.com/jseculo, Periscope, or Twitter, just at jseculo. You can see the live feed there, and also at aclj.org. We're broadcasting live, and you can fill out those forms. You can sign up for the mailing list, and you can pretty much find everything you need right there. You can also download the ACLJ app available in the App Store.
Let me tell you a couple other things. If you need help, like this student did, just go to aclj.org, look under resources right on the homepage. You'll scroll down. It says get our help, and you'll be able to fill out the form there, and we'll get one of our team to take a look at your situation and see if it fits in with the kind of cases we're involved in. We're going to make sure that's also on the homepage, hopefully by tomorrow. We're in a matching challenge campaign, so when we talk about two cases at the Supreme Court of the United States, which we have right now, pro-life case and a religious freedom case for the student, we are relying on you, our members and friends, to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign. That means any amount you donate to us, we get a matching gift for us. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You donate $20, we get 40. 40 is 80. 80 is 160. So we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Very, very important. That's how we do these cases. And again, we'll talk more about it when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. It's amazing to me that a court of appeals would say the First Amendment doesn't apply when you're asked a question by a government agency, which is what the community college is, for admission into a program, and you answer by saying my faith, and that's excluded. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So back at the Supreme Court we are. By the way, those two, the pro-life cases, there's three of them that are up there. One of them is ours. Held over again for another week. So we will see Friday they go back into conference. You got to get four votes for four justices to say they want to hear the case. And while they've got that one, we just filed a brand new one at the Supreme Court of the United States called Buxton versus Dowdery. And it involves the a program at the Community College of Baltimore County involving radiation therapy. It was a competitive program. Carly Gamble is a senior counsel for the ACLJ. She's been handling this case. Carly, tell everybody what exactly happened here as we kind of set this up. I mean, we talked about it in the last half hour, but for our audience that just may be joining us, because it's beyond bizarre what actually happened.
Yeah, so Mr. Buxton applied for the radiation therapy program in 2013. And as a candidate, there are some pre-qualifications and credentials that you have to have. And he qualified for the next round, which included an interview.
So he gets interviewed.
Yeah. So in the interview, one of the questions that he was asked is, what do you base your morals on?
And that was asked by the admissions person or whoever was doing the interview.
Right.
Was that a professor or an administrator?
Actually, Director Doherty was one of the interviewers. So I don't know if the words came out of her mouth, but
all
she's
right
there.
Okay.
And yeah, so the question is, what do you base your morals on? And he says, my faith. And doesn't get admitted to the program and wants to know why.
And then we file suit.
After he finds out that she has written in her notes about what she didn't like about various candidates that she didn't choose, she has put in writing.
Let me read it.
Yeah.
Mr. Buxton brought up religion a great deal during the interview, but religion cannot be brought up in the clinic by therapists or students. But by this way, how often he brought up religion? Here's the question, which had, what do you base your morals on? Which, by the way, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words, to which he responded 2 words, my faith, to which he was denied admission because faith isn't the right answer to that question. And the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit came up with the decision saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter because the free speech clause has no application in this event. I mean, that's the actual words, Carly, out of
right
the opinion.
Has no application. You know, it'd be one thing if they said, you know, we don't think that this was a violation of his First Amendment free speech rights.
But has no application.
Has no application, is not implicated.
And this is, by the way, this is the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which, by the way, in the old days, right, because I've been doing this for a long time, so I'm one of the old guys, this was considered a conservative court of appeals back, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah, and again, you see the change. Again,
justice,
we're having to fight this all the way to the United States
again,
Supreme Court.
And I feel like I'm playing a little deja vu here.
Yes, and I think it's a reminder to those of you, you know, a lot of this broadcast, we talk about a lot of different issues, that these cases are still being worked on by the American Center for Law and Justice at all these various levels of court,
but,
and they take time to reach. We don't want this one to have to reach the Supreme Court. It shouldn't have had to reach the Supreme
there
Court,
it is.
But it's certainly it's going to now.
Take caller line 4. I want to ask this question and put it on to Than, too.
All right. Lori's calling in California.
Hey, Lori, go ahead, please.
Lori.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
You had made the comment that the judiciary is now starting to follow
yep
the lead of the political left. That's been going on for quite some time.
Well, we saw it in
generations.
Look, the Amy Barrett situation is what you're, I think, referring to. Is what, you know, when is that what you're talking about when they asked her what drives you, what's your motivating force?
Right. And I've had that question, so a similar question during an interview as well. What drives you? I know I'm being shut out from job acceptance due to my Christianity.
Well, then you need to go to ACLJ.org and fill out that form and get in touch with us, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. But I will go to Than Bennett on this quickly. And the fact of the matter is, what the Fourth Circuit did is no different than what Dick Durbin and Senator Feinstein did.
It's happening in the federal judiciary. It's happening for people that want to serve in the federal government. But, Jay, it's also happening across the country to regular people. And you know what? In a lot of cases, this kind of bigotry wins out because people don't fight back. That's why people need to go to the website. We can help you fight back, but if you don't, you're going to lose, Jay.
ACLJ.org. Go to resources right there on the homepage. Scroll down. Get our help. And we're going to make that even easier for you to get to. And it's a brand new system we have in place now. So, again, ACLJ.org for that. All right. We'll be back with more. Got an interview with Ed Gillespie coming up. We'll take more questions on this case and more issues to discuss. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, we're in our matching challenge campaign again. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. Logan?
Yep, we'll be right back with more. Exclusive videos coming up during the break. There'll be an update actually on the shooting that happened in Texas. We have an update on that story. That'll be coming up in the break if you're watching on social media. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
You're just joining us. We've got a case that we just filed yesterday at the Supreme Court of the United States on behalf of the student denied admission to a radiology tech program. Why was he denied? Because of his faith, and they actually told him that. But before we get back to those calls, we are joined right now by a friend of mine, Ed Gillespie, who is the Republican nominee for governor of Virginia. And as we said at the beginning of the program, we offered the Democratic nominee to come on as well. He has not, but Ed is. Ed, thanks for being with us in your last moments before as the voting has started.
Glad to be with you, Jay. Happy Election Day, and it seems to be going very well. I think it is going to be a happy Election Day, but we're working very hard, sprinting through the tape, no rest for the weary.
Yeah, well, Ed, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes because I know we're on a lot of stations in Virginia. People want to know from you, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing the folks in Virginia, because I think it translates to the rest of the country as well, and as governor that you would address. What do you see as the big challenges?
Well, our growth rate here is 0.6%, and we are 39th out of 50 states in economic growth. We're dealing with economic stagnation in Virginia right now, Jay. And in fact, five of the last 6 years, our economic growth rate has been below 1%. And the only exception was when it got to 2, and we have got to do better. I truly believe Virginia should be first in the country in economic growth and job creation, and I've put 4 plans to get us there, and my opponent has not. But I would say that's the thing I hear most is that Virginia is not where we need to be when it comes to job creation and economic opportunity and upward mobility.
So, which begs the next question, because you're starting to see economic growth now throughout the country, and yet Virginia's lagging behind. And as someone that lived a long time in Virginia and has roots still in Virginia, it concerns me. Ed, also, and I think this, and I know Jordan's got a question, but I want to ask you this also, because it relates to the economics. Big military presence in Virginia, that's always been a driver of the economy. What's your sense on? So I know where you stand on supporting the military, but I think it'd be good for the people that are listening to this broadcast to hear that from you.
Well, first of all, we need to increase military spending because that's in our national security interest. But that's also important in Virginia. And the fact is we have a lot of bases and installations here. We're proud of that. We need to make sure that Norfolk remains the largest naval base in the world. And we need to build more ships and submarines in Newport News. And, you know, I will be a strong champion and be able to work with the president. And any governor of Virginia has to work with the president of the United States. 20 cents of every dollar in our economy is a direct federal dollar, either federal contracts or, to your point, military spending or other federal programs. And I'd like it to be less, not because, you know, we're not protecting our assets here, but because the 80% that is private sector economic activity is bigger, and I'll unleash private sector economic activity with a 10% across the board cut in our individual income tax rates,
which would be a big help.
The ability
for
to work with the president's important.
Yep.
Yes, it will, absolutely. And my opponent won't be able to, given that he's run his entire campaign not about Virginia, but attacking the president. And that's not in the interest of our fellow Virginians.
And for our audience, I mean, the opponent is a big supported by Planned Parenthood. I mean, I remember when he first ran, I got the mailer. The first mailer I got for him when he was running for state office was from Planned Parenthood. But, Ed, we know that in Virginia, these races, these polls are all over the place, but they show very tight. So for our listeners in Virginia right now, I mean, this is already an engaged audience. They're listening to talk radio and conservative talk radio, and they need to get out there and vote today and make sure their friends get out there and vote today, because this could come down to that kind of it always comes down to turnout in these final days, and you sure do have a lot of national attention on this race right now.
Well, absolutely. And by the way, you're exactly right. Planned Parenthood has spent $6 million in this election, in this campaign.
Wow.
And, you know, voters have to turn out, and it's going to be a close race. The polls show that. But more importantly, I can feel the momentum everywhere I go. I don't need to see polls or focus groups to know that we are winning this race right now, but our people have to turn out. And I can feel it at the shipyard gates, 5:30 in the morning out there for the shift change. I can feel it at the county fairs and the festivals. But it's important on Election Day, obviously, that every voter who cares about the future of the Commonwealth we love turn out and vote. And this election today is not just about the next 4 years. It's about the next 30 years. I truly believe that.
Right.
Because the decisions this next governor makes are going to set the course for our economy for generations to come.
All right, Ed Gillespie, we appreciate you taking time on Election Day in Virginia. We'll follow it closely, report on it tomorrow. And again, thank you. I know you're jammed up in the last couple hours here. Appreciate you coming out.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go right back to our discussion on the Supreme Court, because we've got a case at the Supreme Court involving the student. We've got a lot of calls coming in, a lot of comments coming in as well, too.
Can I add one thing, though, just so our Virginia listeners know? Polls close at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So you've got, you know, if you're listening to this broadcast, you got time to vote.
Yep. All right, go ahead and we'll take a call.
All right, let's just go in order for some of these people that hold a while. Let's go to Evelyn, who's calling California online, too.
All right.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Evelyn. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have a comment and some questions. Do they even care about morals? It's so disgusting when I heard this. And honestly, you know, they let everything else go through. Now, my questions are, do they have a right to ask that question?
And well, I think you raise a real question. I mean, they could ask a question on what do you base your morals on, but you can't disqualify the person because of their viewpoint. In other words, the idea that the response is, my faith. And they put in writing, that's a basis upon which you can be denied access. But, you know, we're seeing that in the judiciary. I want to go back to Than on this. We are seeing it right there in the halls of Congress. And by the way, with the tragedy in Texas, and you have members of the United States Senate saying, you know, prayers, almost mocking the fact that people are praying for people in Texas, I think is pretty despicable. But look at the question that was asked Amy Barrett when she was a nominee. Now she's been confirmed because of your support of getting her an up or down vote. But Than, the legislative branch has led the way on this too. They don't get a free pass.
They've done it to the judiciary. They've done it to people applying for the federal government. But Jay, I think the connection that you just made is one people really need to pay attention to, because we as a society have a fundamental need to make sure that people have a moral center from which to draw on. I agree with what Jordan's been saying, that most people draw that from their faith. But Jay, if we are going to move to a place where we don't think people should have that moral foundation, you're going to see more radicalization. You're going to see more of what happened this week. And it might seem like a brash connection to make, but that moral center, that ability to connect with other people and something beyond yourself, is what prevents that kind of thing from happening. And if the federal judiciary and the federal legislature and all the rest, the judiciary is going to follow that path, look out.
I'll tell you something, though. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said the First Amendment has no application to this. We've now taken that to the Supreme Court of the United States. By the way, three cases pending right now at the Supreme Court, two pro-life cases, and then this one on religious liberty. Let's grab another phone call.
Yeah, back to phones.
All right, let's go to Chaz on line one in Iowa.
Hi, Chaz. Go ahead. You're on the air. And if you want to talk to us, folks, 1-800-684-3110. Chaz, you're on.
Yes, hello. First of all, I'd like to read a description of morality. Is the differentiation of intentions, decisions, and actions between those that are distinguished as proper and those that are improper. Morality can be a body of standards or principles derived from a code of conduct from a particular philosophy, religion, or culture.
Yeah, there you go.
What I'd like to add is this. When she asked him a question based upon morals or a moral code, all morals, the original morals, were based upon and were created by God, Yahweh. I don't care what other religion you have. That's where they started. That's where they came from. Secondly, the interviewer, in my opinion, was weeding these candidates due to faith. So it's clearly...
Well, look, this interviewer has a history because... She also, to another student, said, I understand, this was in the file, I understand that religion is a major part of your life. However, this field is not the place for religion. If you interview in the future, you may want to leave your thoughts and beliefs out of the interview process. But here's the problem, Chaz. This administrator asked the question, what are your morals based on? And the answer to that for this student was basically looking at your definition, which was number two, your faith, which is what you said at the outset of this.
To me, it's almost like a setup question by this administrator because unless you come up with, like as Chad read the Webster's definition, some other philosophy. Code of conduct or philosophy, if you mention anything about, well, how I was raised, all of that, it all goes back to likely some kind of faith code. Whether you are a practicing religious person or not, many people say that their moral codes do derive from religious text. Whether you are a faithful person or not, there's a lot of good right and wrongs in religious text of right behavior and wrong behavior. And that is where you derive morality from, a more general and civil or civic morality, if you will, is still derived from religious teachings. And to disqualify people for that,
literally,
in the United States of America in 2017, when we, again, are supposed to be so politically correct, except for those who are religious and specifically those who share the Christian faith, because it's politically correct to discriminate against people who are Christians.
All right, so this case is now at the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm holding in my hand a copy of the petition for certiorari that we filed yesterday. I've got an email that's out today that says we're taking on the biggest Supreme Court cases in decade. Question one, should the government be able to reject Christian students from college admission because of their faith? Number two, should law enforcement be prevented from investigating big abortions illegal acts? Question three, should life-saving pro-life pregnancy centers be shut down or told they have to refer to abortion? That is three separate cases, all pending at the Supreme Court of the United States, and we're in our matching challenge month. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ keeps us in court, literally at the Supreme Court of the United States. You could do that at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
So this one is now at the Supreme Court in the United States. I'm holding it in my hand right now, the case, and this is called Buxton versus Daugherty. We represent the student Dustin Buxton. He was asked in an interview for admission to the radiation therapy program, and they asked the question, by the way, he didn't bring this up. They asked the question, what do you base your morals on? To which he responded with a two-word response, my faith. And the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said, and of course, they denied him admission because of his faith. And the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said, well, that's okay because the First Amendment has no application to a response to a question, which is quintessential free speech, by the way. So the First Circuit saying, Fourth Circuit has no application. The First Amendment has no application is an absurd ruling.
Did you say in another situation they had to settle?
Yeah, we did get one case, we got settled.
So, I mean, they got in trouble.
They got in trouble. Well, and this one they should have settled. They didn't. So we're taking it up to the Supreme Court. So there you go. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Folks have been holding. This is the last segment, so we got to go through the calls.
Yeah, let's go to particularly bad administrator. Particularly, this is the same administrator?
Yeah, well, actually, same administrator, same program. I don't know if it was the same administrator. Yeah, I believe it was the same administrator made the statement. The other students, I'll read you the statement. To the other student, it was, I understand that religion is a major part of your life. However, this field is not the place for religion. If you interview in the future, you may want to leave your thoughts and beliefs out of the interview process, except you asked me the question, what is my faith, my morals based on?
Atheists only apply?
I guess so. Atheists only apply.
That's good.
All right.
I'm sure a lot of people getting medical advice only want people who tell them, only atheists, that this is it for life.
Yeah.
If people get it. You know, if they ask you. And I don't think this person had any indication he was going to
get
a preacher.
And I don't like the fact that we got to get to these calls. But then I do not like the fact that the Senate thought they could ask those same questions of Judge Barrett. I do not like that. That they thought they could do that.
Well, they were trying to weed people out too, Jay. I mean, they wanted to say people of faith need not apply for these positions. But again, just really quickly, Jay, I want to make the point. You talked about both of those two cases. In both cases, you had to fight. One time you had to be willing to fight further than another, but we need people to be willing to engage these things if you're going to win.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and grab these phone calls, 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Nancy in Ventura, California. You're on the air.
Yeah, second caller from California. All right, Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Just wanted to touch base. So when the senators were going over this questions with the judge.
Judge Barrett.
This was technically a job interview.
Yes.
So the same rule should apply to her. So if you guys can take this to court for this person, what's going to stop the senators in the future from being able to do this?
I don't think they're going to ask that question again because they not only, first of all, Amy Barrett has been confirmed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. I mean, for all I know, she may have already been sworn in. If not, I'm sure very soon. Number one. Number two, we called them out on it. We were very clear on that. And the reaction from you all, our listening audience, which you responded in an aggressive way. I don't know how many thousands of people. I think it was, what was the number on that? I think 250,000 people contacted us that wanted to let their voice be heard with Congress.
Yeah, so that's how you shut that down in this kind of proceeding where they are the ones that get to make a decision and you can't take them to court. They have the right to vote up or down on nominees. Actually, the Judiciary Committee, by the way, can be bypassed. You don't even have to go to it. But normally you will. I think what these two senators learned, Dick Durbin and Dianne Feinstein, is that if you do this, you're actually just making a hero out of the nominee,
Right. Raising
their profile. And likely, I mean, this could be someone who was probably someone not as well known who may one day end up serving on the U.S. Supreme Court because of what happened to them.
Let me just say this also. 186,413 of you spoke out in her defense. And, Than, that is a pretty breathtaking number for just being up there for a couple of weeks. 186,000, almost 200,000 people.
It raised her profile, as Jordan said. But, Jay, the other thing it did is it sped her confirmation. She moved further up the line because they made an issue of her and the American people spoke out. Her confirmation was sped along because of it.
Absolutely. All right, Logan, another call or another comment?
Let's just keep getting calls. We don't have much time. Let's go to Grady in Virginia on line 6.
Hey, Grady, you're on the air.
All right. How are you this afternoon?
Good.
Let me ask you a question. What do you mean by critical left and critical right? Are you referencing persons on the Democratic side and persons on the Republican side before I answer a question?
Wait, hang on a second. I don't know what you're maybe I missed something here, but I don't know what you mean by critical left and critical right.
Well, you said that the critical left was backing what this interviewer
asked the question of this person. And
no, I didn't say the critical left. No, I said the college administrator.
Administrator.
No, I maybe misunderstood what I said to Grady. Let me just make sure you understand. No, no, no. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what her political affiliation is of the administrator. I said the administrator backed up these statements. So that's what I was talking about, Grady.
I asked that is because that I know that a lot of times we associate.
I cannot understand what Grady.
Hey, hang on, Grady. What is the question you have? Because I think you misunderstood what we said. So we got that clarified.
Well, I'm in agreement. I'm a Democrat. I'm in agreement with the person who, which you're saying that this person should not have been lost his entrance into the
college
because of that. I agree. I think a lot of times that. If we were able to recruit and come together as Democrats or Republicans,
yeah, this was not
religious. Okay, I apologize.
No, no problem. I mean, it was the administrator. I don't know if she's a Republican or a Democrat. All I know is, and Grady, this is an interesting thing. So, because here's the student is asked it wasn't like he brought this up on his own.
Yeah.
The student was asked the question, "What do you base your morals on?" He gave an honest answer. Two words: my faith.
Yeah, didn't even get past into what that faith was, which I think was unique. Also, I mean. Very generic. So I think a lot of our listeners may have thought, you know, personally, they may have gone a lot deeper.
Yeah.
Would that have disqualified them to say, my faith, my Christian faith? Oh, well, that certainly would be too far. But having any faith at all, no religion allowed in this program. I mean, that is not the America we live in. That is not the Constitution we live under. These judges that have done this, I don't know how they got to this conclusion.
But they did.
So absurd.
Well,
that
the judges said that the First Amendment has no application.
In a public school.
Yeah, in a public college.
University, so everybody's an adult.
Yep.
No First Amendment.
No application of the First Amendment.
So you can
Amendment,
ask whatever question you want, and they can...
They said it. No application of the First Amendment.
I mean, it's like communism or something. Yeah. Like so.
All right, let's grab these last two calls if we can.
Let's go to Barbara in Virginia, online 5.
Hey, Barbara, go ahead.
Hey, Jay.
Yep.
To me, it seems like the question, it's a setup and a filter. Of course a Christian is going to say, my God, my faith. It seems like they're looking for a basis to disqualify.
Yes, I think it was. I agree with you 100%. I think it was a setup, and we just caught them. And in one case, we settled. The other one's now on the way to the has been filed at the Supreme Court of the United States. So we'll see what they say. But again, we had to take it up. It was that important.
Quick question before Terry's call. Because one was settled, does that help? Getting it to the Supreme
Separate,
Court
because they dug their heels in. They decided that they were going to just dig their heels in. And when they dig their heels in and they get a Fourth Circuit decision that says that the First Amendment has no application in this context to answering a question, that has to be overturned by the Supreme Court of the United States, in my view.
Let's go to Terry in Indiana real quick, Terry.
Terry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's Terry Bird. Without a religion, I don't care which religion it is, you have no faith at all. There's not going to be any morals or anything in this country.
Well,
if someone
wanted to come up with a basis of moral views,
that's fine.
That's fine. That was based on some worldview of theirs, a secular worldview. Say it. But this student was asked the question that said, "What is your worldview? What is your morals based on? My faith." That is now at the Supreme Court of the United States. Folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org for that. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Three cases now at the Supreme Court of the United States. And then if you need help, ACLJ.org. Go to resources. It says get our help. And you can fill out that form and we'll get you some help if it falls in with what we do. And Logan will let you know how you can keep engaged with us on all these issues. A great program tomorrow. Our Jerusalem office is here in our studios live.
That's right. If you want to keep listening to the show, get more content, ACLJ.org. You can also find us broadcasting, like I said, each and every day on social media. So make sure you follow us at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at ACLJ. Download the ACLJ app. At Dan Bennett. I think that's going to do it for the show.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.